Thank you for visiting New Song Community Church on the web at newsongpdx.com. We pray that you will be blessed by listening to the message today. You are welcome to celebrate with us in worship and the Word every Sunday at 10 a.m. We are located on the corner of Russell Street at 2511 Northeast Martin Luther King Jr. Boulevard in Portland, Oregon.
What an awesome day to be in the house of the Lord. We're going to go into the Word right now. And all day done took some of my time. Oh, Jesus. I'm going to take it back. We're going to Luke chapter 16, and I believe God has got a word for us to start off this new year, and it'll be a perspective on something, and probably one of the most interesting scriptures you'll find in the Bible as we read through it. You're going to say, oh boy, how's he going to bail us out of this one? Well, here we go. He also said to his disciples, there was a certain rich man who had a steward, and an accusation was brought to him that his man was wasting his goods. So the steward said within himself, what shall I do? For my master is taking the stewardship away from me. I cannot dig, and I'm ashamed to beg. So they called he called every one of his master's debtors to him and said to the first, how much do you owe my master? Then he said to another, and how much do you owe? And he said, 100 measures of wheat. And he said to him, take your bill and write 80. And I say to you, make friends for yourselves by unrighteous mammon, that when you fall, they may receive you into an everlasting home. Therefore, if you have been faithful in the unrighteous mammon, he will commit to your trust the true riches. Verse 13, we'll read together. No servant can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will be loyal to one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. Let's pray. Father, in Jesus' name. Well, we're about to embark on a journey, and it'll take us several weeks to really complete it, because it talks about those things that something you've declared is impossible. And strangely enough, or oddly enough, it revolves around the thing that we have the most difficulty with, and it's around mammon, and interpreted in our culture, it's called money. And Lord, I pray this first day, this first service of the year would bring people to the reality of realizing what life is all about. And for those who have been hoodwinked to the idea that money can solve all their problems, Lord, help them to be healed. Because today we're going to learn about the true riches of heaven and what they're all about. Holy Spirit, be our teacher, and we'll give you all the glory and the honor and praise, for we ask all these things in the powerful name of Jesus. And all God's people said, amen. I want you to turn to somebody, take them by the hand, look them in the eye, and tell them, if Jesus says it's impossible, it is. Go ahead and be seated. Somebody say, I'm scared to come to church. He's always telling me to say something to somebody. Now he's got me locked in because I got to figure out what did I just declare. I think this message will take you several different directions. Probably it'll be enlightening to some, and will answer some questions for many that have been around the culture of the church or just the culture of economics as it goes. So I'll start by saying this. Without a close examination of the scripture, as well as doing some research into the culture of people to whom the Bible passages are written, one one could come away from it with a rather skewed interpretation of what Jesus was saying and meant when he said, it's impossible to serve God and mammon. So I think at this point I at least owe you a definition of what mammon is. Mammon is an Aramaic word which means riches. It comes from a Syrian god of riches. And also, we should be careful not to confuse money with mammon, because mammon is a spirit that attaches itself to money. You need to understand that, because that's going to help you to understand what this whole scripture is all about. It attaches itself to money and brings a curse along with it. Mammon has its roots in the Babylonian history of the associates itself with those who built the Tower of Babel. Now, if you want to do some research on your own, I would admonish you to do this. Read Genesis chapter 11, just 8 verses. That's all. Just write that down so you don't forget it, because it'll help you to understand the Tower of Babel. And matter of fact, I did some research about this. Smithsonian Institute did some examination, and they discovered, some of you want to refute it, where the Tower of Babel was actually built. I'll give you more information. If you want more information, I can give that to you. And it's total factual information. But moving on from there, you'll find out about this. So they described to a belief that they did not need God. They said, we're going to build a tower up to God. That isn't the most ridiculous thing ever. But they actually tried it, and it didn't work. But God said, just to keep them from making total fools out of themselves, this is how we actually started out, where we were born at one time with one language. God says, I don't know how to do this. Tomorrow morning, someone will be speaking Japanese. Someone will be speaking Mandarin Chinese. Someone will be speaking what we call English. They'll be speaking Spanish. All in that particular culture, he confused the language so they could not communicate with each other. Sometimes God has to do something in our lives because we are stupid. But the only way he can bail us out of our stupidity is he'll say, I have to do something to help them get away from stupidity. So anyway, that's something even to examine. So when the spirit of mammon takes hold of our lives, we will think that as long as we have money, we don't need God. Well, three questions we'll examine. Number one is this. Do you believe the amount of money that you have or make is enough to supply your needs? Do not vote. I don't want any voting right now, because by the end of the sermon, say, oh no. But do you believe that? Second question will interrogate you further. Do you have an hourly wage or salary in mind that you believe that is a fair exchange for your service or employment? In other words, do you think you deserve a raise? Everyone says, well, now you won't say it here, but you'll say it once you get out there. Everyone, for some reason, or most people, I say for some reason, do not believe that people evaluate or compensate them according to their ability or just the fact that they need more. But here's number three. Do you believe that giving to God through tithing is an important part of your relationship with him? People say, I don't want you to talk about that. That's a very personal, private issue. We're going public today because we're going to talk about it. First place we're going to make a stop at is, mammon is the number one desire that takes God's place in your life. 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 10. Some of you probably even know what it says. It says this. For the love of money is the root of all kinds of evil, for which some have strayed from the faith in their greediness and have pierced themselves through with many sorrows. You thought money would make you happy. Depression hasn't left you since you got all the things you thought you needed, but the people that were really in your life that were doing you good, they're gone, because your focus was on the wrong thing. I want you to take this examination. The love of money is the root of all kinds of evil. I mean, you see the stories and heard of different things where people kill their mom or their dad or whatever, or poison them so they can get their inheritance early. I don't even want to get into all the garbage, but it happens. And it's all because of money. And you say, well, money must, but he says, it's the root of all sorts of evil. But this word called mammon will help you to understand why people respond the way that they do. We'll get into that a little bit further, but the deception of mammon rests upon money causing people to believe it has power and control of all things. In some cultures, it may, but that was never the intent. Let me just redefine for you or just reiterate the idea about mammon. Mammon is a spirit that falls upon money. It's a spirit that takes over, and I'll show you how it works a little bit further. But mammon promises everything that only God can give us, which means this: identity, security, and significance can only be found in Jesus. Anybody know about that? Your identity is in Jesus. Your security is in him. Remember when the disciples were about ready to, Jesus is about ready to go away, and he says, "Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you, and if I go to prepare a place for you, I'll come again and receive you unto myself, that there where I am, you may be also." It's security of knowing that when you leave here, you got a place to go. You're not going to look and say, "Well, ashes to ashes, dust to dust." Oh, no, 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 no. God has prepared a place for everybody here. And that's amazing. So anyway, going with that, the joy and peace and love are part of the fruit of the Spirit. And those things come with every believer that's in this house right now. Do you know what? You don't have to ask God for more love. When you have Jesus, you got all the love you could ever use. When you have Jesus, you have joy that's unspeakable and full of glory. And those are the things that are promised you, but somehow, when you have a pocket full of money and you don't feel love, something's happened to your heart. Next thing we can go with this is another thing that mammon promises: wealth, position, and popularity are things often sought by men in exchange for their soul. Some of you lost your soul when you got a raise. Because all of a sudden something was created in you that you weren't satisfied with a number. That didn't mean the car, the clothes, the house, or whatever. And now when your income was doubled overnight, you said, "Oh, we can finally have it." And once you got it, what difference did it make? You're still you. Well, furthermore, mammon is a spirit of Antichrist. I was thinking about this before I even went to the scripture. Revelation is the book I haven't taught from probably in several years. But I'm inclined to teach from it today because there's a scripture there that in chapter 18, verses 1 through 5. I'm going to introduce those to you, and then we're going to talk about it. "After these things, I saw another angel coming down from heaven and having great authority, and the earth was illuminated with his glory. And he cried out mightily with a loud voice, saying, 'Babylon the great is fallen, and has become a dwelling place of demons, and a prison for every foul spirit, and a cage for every unclean and hated bird.'" Go on to the next few verses. "For all the nations have drunk of the wine and of the wrath of her fornication. The kings of the earth have committed fornication with her, and the merchants of the earth have become rich through the abundance of her luxury. And I heard another voice from heaven saying, 'Come out of her, my people, lest you share in her sins, and lest you receive of her plagues.'" Then verse 5. "For her sins have reached to the heaven, and God has remembered her iniquities." You know, there's a fallacy out there, and I have to remove it for you, for your benefit. The spirit does not rule, or the Antichrist spirit, the thing that we fear the most is nuclear war. That the fellow over in Korea will get his nuclear warheads and send them this direction, or Mr. Putin all of a sudden will have a bad day and press the button and we're done, or whatever. But that's not how it's going to work. So what insight do you have? The spirit of Antichrist rules through the threat of not being able to buy and sell. I haven't talked about the mark of the beast for a long period of time, but I can tell you this much. This is from my perspective, and I'm willing to have a conversation about you to prove me wrong. But there are so many things in place right now to remove, you know, to make it easier for you to buy and sell, that within a matter of a few years, people will not think even twice about putting a mark on their hand or putting a little tab in their hand that they can wave in front of a particular thing to take care of all their bills. They'll think, oh, that's mark of the beast. Don't even think about it. That little thing that's in your, it just makes it, it just goes right to your bank account. It has nothing to do with anything. Really? It's not going to be a mark on your forehead. It can be something that nobody sees, but you're able to buy and sell, and it's so much more convenient. Got another thing for you. And this will come in the form of a question. I just want to know how enlightened some of us are. How many of you have heard of cryptocurrency? Raise your hand. Put your hands down. How many of you know what it is? Would anyone want to volunteer? Come up here, take the mic, and tell us what cryptocurrency is all about. Anybody want to volunteer to do that? You're welcome. Well, why not? I'll tell you why. Because you think you understand it, but you don't. Well, that was mean. No, it's true. I read for 2.5 hours from this website and that website, and all I know is mathematics that is put to use to make your account, whatever it happens to be, and you buy a computer that will help you get to that particular place where there's only so many areas of cryptocurrency that you can have. There's a limit to it. And you can spend days, hours, months to get that one place of cryptocurrency where your money, everything you have is tied up and nobody else can get to it but you. And people will pay any kind of money because right now, I mean, well, just as an example, last year around Christmas time, I was looking at my I don't know, Capital One bill or something like this, and all of a sudden, I had charged $18,000 on my card. That was exciting, because I did it at Sam's Club, and we don't even have Sam's Club here. I'm serious. And I bought some power tools and all kind of stuff, and I said, whoa, time out. And they said, well, and let's tell you how slick these folks are. They did this in one day. I called the people, you know, about getting, you know, after I saw it, actually a couple days later. Before I called them, they had reported my card stolen and ordered a new one to be shipped to Maryland. Oh, yeah! And I'm still dealing with that right now. I'm working on some other things. And they said, oh, your address in Maryland, tell us why you moved there. I said, I've never lived in Maryland in my life. But I want to tell you the threat that you have of this whole idea about mammon and about money. People will do anything to get your money. It doesn't matter to them. Well, let me get back to the message here, because some of you are still dying over cryptocurrency. I will give you a definition that will be workable next week. You got to come back and hear it, okay? I got you where I want you. But it'll be something that you absolutely understand. But I mean to tell you, because I did the research for you, and I tell you, my head hurts, okay? But the Spirit says, if you do not bow down to me and take the mark of the beast, you will not be able to buy or sell anything. You're saying, it's really not that bad. I mean, I still love Jesus. Or do you love the ability to have money? Well, Jesus said that he would be the supplier of all our needs. Philippians 4:19. Or do we have the wrong verse here? Philippians 4:19. What did they give you? Here we go. It's coming. Okay. And my God shall supply all your, now look at that word there, need, not, Take the S off. That's what gets you in trouble. Because you start adding things on there. God knows what you need. You don't. I know I need a Maserati. I know I do. Something deep down inside of me just craves speed. I know that's my other. It would be nice. Until you wreck it. Or pay the insurance on it. Lord have mercy. Well, let me leave that alone. Okay. According to his riches and glory. But here's the part. By Christ Jesus. Well, Jesus went to the cross so I could have the riches and all the things that I want. Need. And you know what? The Lord knows everything that you need. We're going to talk about stewardship in just a few moments because this text will mess with you a bit. And so the idea behind it is the spirit of mammon rests upon money that is not submitted to God. And so, well, that's going to be the next question is, how do you submit your money to God? Well, the story behind it is the system of the world says we do not need God if you have money. Now, some of you, when you were broke, you couldn't wait to get to church. But now you got some money. You know, we're going to Vegas this weekend. You know, we start indulging ourselves, and there's nothing wrong with well, I shouldn't say there's nothing wrong with going. That's not true, because some of you ain't strong enough to go to Vegas. You need to stay here. Go to Disneyland, leave Vegas alone. That'll be that's a better shot for some. No, don't go down there. There's a reason why they call it Sin City. There's a reason why. It wasn't a mistake. Okay, back to the message. Okay. We must resolve that there are things in life that only God can solve. Can I get an amen? Amen. That no amount of money can change them for you. I remember there was one lady I met, it was many years ago, and she inherited the Anheuser-Busch fortune. I won't give you her name, but She inherited millions and millions and millions and millions and millions of dollars. As a matter of fact, I was going down there doing some ministry down there, and we hadn't rented a car. So she went down to the dealership, and she bought us a brand new Cadillac Eldorado. And there was more than five of us, so she bought two. Yes, she did. Oh, this is just something for you to ride around in while you're here. It didn't mean anything to her, but here's the thing. This lady, even though she had all of this money, she had a particular affliction that she couldn't stay up past 7 o'clock in the evening. 7 o'clock, nighty night, see you tomorrow. They tried everything they possibly could, but nothing could cure her. So you got all this money, but you can't even enjoy or do the things you want to do. Well, that's not what this whole message is about. Loving and serving mammon is the root of all kinds of evil. It means the love of money can create desire that cannot be fulfilled. Ever made the statement, when I get the money, I'm going to do so-and-so? Don't raise your hand. I see them raised already. When my ship comes in, I'm going to do so-and-so. Do you know who puts that thought in your mind? The Spirit that is on mammon, that says once you get to that X dollar amount that you can afford it, then you'll be happy and fulfilled in all those different things. Loving and serving mammon, the love of money can create a desire that enough cannot fulfill. Remember the song we sing around? My God is more than enough. He can supply all your needs. He is my El Shaddai. You sang it. Don't be looking at me strange. Well, if he's more than enough, then why are you still seeking after stuff? That's kind of hurtful. What is more than enough? Let's do some little definition. More than enough. First of all, define for me what is enough. Pastor, I never thought of that. Because once you get to the one enough, there'll be another one created. The spirit of mammon is upon you saying, yeah, that's not quite enough. Just, you know, just a little bit higher and you'll be happy. Well, let's go back into the text here and you'll begin to understand what we're talking about. Dealing with money is all about stewardship. Back into Luke chapter 16, verses 1 and 2. He also says, there was a certain man who had a steward, and accusations brought against him that he was wasting his goods. So he called him and said to him, what is this I hear about you? Give an account of your stewardship, for you can no longer be steward. Okay? I'm going to talk to these people over here. I'll be to you in a minute. One question. Can God trust you with the money he's given into your hands? Well, yeah. Well, I think he can. This is really not one of those messages where you get to shout hallelujah. It's like, oh my goodness. Work with that. How about you? Can God trust you with the money he's entrusted you? Well, the other people, I certainly hope so. Oh, that's a beautiful answer. But you're in control of the final decision of where it goes. He does not reach into your pocket and says, I'm going to grab me a handful. You are the steward over every penny that comes into your life. Amen. Can you affirm the fact that you are not wasting the money that the Lord has made you steward over? Well, no answers there, but we'll go with the next. You can be ever so frugal and be wasting money in your attempt to handle the Lord's money. Some of you aren't frugal, you're cheap. Oh, I got another word for you, stingy. This is so painful, but it's true. Some of your frugality is fear that if you buy something, you won't have enough for the things you really want to do, so you're just cheap. Bought all your presents at the Dollar Tree. Just bought three instead of, well, I'm going to leave it alone. Here's a part that'll be helpful. You can be ever so frugal, but you must realize that the money you have is not yours. And people who are faithful with the least can be trusted with greater things. Now, here's another impacting thing that I think will be helpful for all of us. When we are called to give an account for what we have been entrusted with, we will discover that the effect of the spirit of mammon has upon us. Now, look, money is a good indicator as to where our hearts are in other areas of our life. And that being the case, when we are a steward, stewardship is taken from us, we will discover the real condition of our hearts. So the man who owns the stuff, he says, I've heard that you've been squandering my money. Give an account of yourself. And now here's the question that I had about this story in the first place. This, in my way of thinking, why did Jesus put this story in the Bible? It's really jacked up. Well, some of the conclusions, I'm serious. This is my thinking. Now, I'm saying the Bible's jacked up. That's not my point. I'm talking about this particular, because it doesn't seem to make sense until we get to the part where we really understand what he's trying to prove to us. And so he gets the news, you know, that he's no longer going to be steward. And so he says, I'm too proud to beg. I'm too old to get another, I'm too old to get be a greeter at Walmart. So what am I going to do? And immediately it pops in his brain. Not only I haven't been good with his, you know, a good steward of with his money, but I know what I'll do. I still have the power to deal with some of the people he's had around here, so I'm going to make friends with the people that my master owes, and so I'm going to give them a discount. So when I lose this job, somebody's going to take care of me. I want to show you the fault behind that in just a moment. But here's the deal. If we are under the influence of mammon, the evil spirit will be latch on to the money that we have. Now, what about this? When an offering is received in church, the spirit of mammon is never silent, but will often speak up, causing us to wonder if we should give, or are we giving too much, or is tithing something that is keeping us from having the things that we want or need. This is a big statement here, and fasten your seatbelts, because you're not going to like it. Well, that was kind of an introduction. There isn't a time that an offering is taken in this church or any other church. Some of you are committed to tithing, you already wrote out the check, but those of you who haven't, before tithing or giving goes on, well, let's see, I make $500 a week. That means I should probably be giving God $50. And then right before you write the check, $50, well, they won't miss. Let's make it for $25. Do you know that wasn't your idea? It was a spirit on the money that you have that says, don't give it to God, give it to something else. What? I'm going to talk more about giving at another time. But I want you to know the spirit of the that's on the money that's in your wallet or in your bank account will cause you, will deceive you into thinking that you're saving money, but you're really wasting it. Because when you even go into Malachi, says, will a man rob God? Oh, yes, he will. Here's another one. Oh, you're not going to like this one any better. Well, this week, I was supposed to give $50, but I saw this guy, a couple of homeless people. I gave them $5 a piece, so we'll deduct the 10, and God gets 40. Oh, you don't tell me you don't think like that. Yes, you do. Or a friend of mine, they were out of groceries, so I went to Fred Meyer, and I bought him $40 worth of groceries, so God gets $10. God does not need you to work with his money. He'll decide who goes to Fred Meyer's and who doesn't. But that's how people think. It's the spirit of mammon on there that says, well, you've done enough over here, so don't do what you're supposed to do. That's a light introduction to where we're really going with this. So the spirit of mammon will speak of in protest saying, I don't know what you do. You don't know what he's supposed to do with this money. They should be more committed to helping, stop world hunger or the homeless situation, and you're just kind of involved in that whole situation, and the church needs to get more involved with this. And so until they start doing this, I'm not giving any more money to the church. That's how some people have dealt with it, because it's your money, right? It never will be your money. Next page. If we are unfaithful in unrighteous mammon, why would the Lord trust us with true riches? This is the part I had to get to at least today, today's part of the message. I need to give you a definition that will be with you the rest of your life about what the true riches of heaven are. Because it doesn't say specifically what that is. Do you know what the true riches of heaven are? People. The only thing on this planet that will go into the Father's house is people. And your ability to communicate with them how much God loves them and how much Jesus sacrificed on the cross was an atonement for their sins, that is the true riches of heaven. And I'll define this whole story before I close today because we'll move on to something else. But it is okay for us to have possessions as long as they're under the right management. The other thing is stewardship will reveal the character, what our character is all about. But here's one that's even greater. When we seek out our own personal interests and well-being rather than being a good steward that can be trusted, we have allowed the spirit of unrighteous mammon to overtake our life. Pride will always take over to protect us from addressing the image of what we are instead of who we want people to think we are. Well, I want to go down to the latter part of this message because I really want to honor your time, but this is the thing I need to drive home. Who will trust you with the true riches. Luke 16, verses 9 through 12. This will be revelatory to all of us. And I say to you, make friends for yourselves with unrighteous mammon. Let me stop right there. That sounds so contradictory. Make friends for yourself with unrighteous mammon. And you notice that before this, that the master praises the steward for being a crook. Read the chapter. He says, oh, man, he says, you're a shrewd dealer, man. But that's not the whole totality of what's being said here with unrighteous mammon. That when you fail, that phrase right there will help you unlock this scripture. When it says when you fail, it's not talking about when you fail a test. It's talking about when you die. Everybody in here has an expiration date. You say, well, I'm doing everything I can to extend the date. That truck hit going fast around the corner may erase all of your plans. And you may see Jesus earlier than you thought. So it says, but when you fail, they may receive you into an everlasting home. Now that they that's in there is an interesting word. It really covers people that you have used this unrighteous mammon to affect them to have a relationship with Jesus. And they're in heaven today because of what you sacrificed of this unrighteous mammon, that they would hear the gospel. And now they're in heaven and they'll welcome you home to say, you were the one that gave to this missionary who preached to my family and we got to know Jesus. Thank you so much for giving that enabled me to know who Jesus is. Wouldn't you love to know that your ability to give unrighteous mammon, as it were, to affect people that they would get to know Jesus? Isn't that what it's all about? Because everything that you have here, you're going to leave behind. Don't order a U-Haul to follow behind the hearse. It won't help. I've seen people, well, I've heard, actually I saw it in magazines many years ago, a fellow who had to be buried in his Corvette. Yes, he did. He paid for, I don't know how many grave plots. He had himself laying up there in front of the thing. And they lowered him down the hole and they poured all this dirt on top of him. I'd like to know, where is he going? But he's sitting up there in his Corvette. Had his hat on. Well, I'm going to leave that alone. Some of you will get that tomorrow, okay? Learn to use your money for the right reason. And this is not a plea toward anything other than the fact that be accountable for why you spend your money on what you do. And that means use money that the Lord has entrusted to you to make a difference in the lives of those who don't know Jesus. I think that's reasonable. But unrighteous mammon can bring many people into the kingdom of righteousness. It can? Well, now let's talk about the true riches. This is the part that makes me so happy. True riches of God are souls that are being brought into the kingdom through giving unrighteous mammon to support ministry of evangelism and compassionate outreach. I don't know whether it bothers you at all, but it does bother me. But I have a personality that I had to put in check, because if it was up to me, I'd be stopping at every person on the side of the road and be giving all the money away randomly so I would feel better. It's not about them. I did something. It was only $5, but you run out of $5. You do. But when you value people like the Lord does, that's the key. Well, we must learn to be faithful with whatever has been given to us. We cannot afford to allow our flesh to overcome the Holy Spirit in directing us how to do the work of the kingdom of God. And this is what that unrighteous mammon spirit does when it's time for the offering. You don't need to give anything this week. You saw a couple things on TV set of people that are really suffering. just take that and do a little something there and you'll be okay. All of those theories, all of those ideas, we'll touch on them in the next couple of weeks. But consider this. We must be in faith with what has been given to us. We cannot afford to allow our flesh to overcome the Holy Spirit in directing us. We must confront the spirit of mammon and refuse to be misdirected away from the things that will produce true riches. I wish we had time for, because I know several people that are in this audience. They are a result of some of you that have supported this church and this type of thing. They are here today because of what you sowed, some people have sowed in here consistently. That somehow the message got out to them. They came to Jesus and they're now serving the Lord because of you giving the way you're supposed to. So here's the last part as the choir comes up. The last part where Jesus said it's impossible. Now, when I had you make that little statement. If Jesus says it's impossible, it really is. What makes it so impossible that you can't serve two masters? Either hate one, love the other, or love one, you know, vice versa. Here's a conflict that we can resolve. The greatest test of believers is to submit to the lordship of Jesus in regard to finances. And I'm gonna be real frank with you. That is the hardest thing some of you, not all of you, will have to do. Because that spirit of mammon will constantly tell you that's your money. And don't let anybody talk you into using your money. You're planning to do this, you're planning to do that, and that's your money. Don't let anybody just bilk you out of your money. If there's one thing I'm going to do today, it will be break the curse off of you. The curse that's over of mammon off of your money. The second thing is this. The spirit of mammon will constantly try to redirect your heart away from tithing and giving. I said, well, you didn't say much about tithing today. That don't mean I'm not going to. But I got to get you, first of all, to understand that it really isn't you, as much as you think, as you in control. It's a spirit that tells you and lies to you and tells you that it's your money. And lies to you and tells you that you have better sense than God does. It's not true. But here's the last thing I'll say for today. Then I'll admonish you. I gave you this little handout. It says, you know, what is mammon? Take that with you. There are 11 facts that you need to know about mammon. And just put it in your Bible and read them, and I think that'll help you. But this last thing is mammon is a spirit governing the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. Okay, I want to prepare you for this. So why don't your heads bowed and your eyes closed? And I want them to begin to sing the song that they've already sung. And the Holy Spirit's going to wash over your spirit because something amazing is going to happen. Yes, I've been to services where I've seen people manipulate and con people out of money to the point that there are people that will never go to church again. How they've done all types of tactics and gives, you know, reactions. There's only one thing I want to do today. It's to break the spirit of mammon off of you. That everything, that money really honestly is neutral. Money can go into an offering basket. And I'm not meaning to be trite about this, or it can be thrown in the air at a strip club. It doesn't get to decide. You get to decide what you do with it. But in the beginning of 2020, I want to set forth some things that will be important to you. Of worship, of how to worship with all of you. Some of you are really good at lifting your hands. Some of you are very good at singing out. And some of you are very good at just being patient while we do it. But when it comes to the place where you have to participate with something that once you let go of it, the spirit of mammon says, you may never get any that type of money again, and you're foolish for letting go. I want to remove the fear off of you for giving that which you work so hard for. Keep your heads bowed for a moment, and I'm going to pray over you something that if you agree with it, we're going to stand together and we're going to make a declaration. Father, this first Sunday of the year, to start off with a message like this, for some people say, well, I don't know why you did that, because Jesus wanted me to. Because it's to start a new chapter in your life to say, whether you've been a tither all along or whether you've never done that before, you needed to know that every time you come through these doors, every time there's an opportunity for you to give to the things of true riches, the enemy will fight you. But today we're going to deal with a curse. Father, in the name of Jesus, I proclaim that every person under the sound of my voice will no longer be harassed, will no longer be harangued, will no longer be challenged, will no longer be intimidated by the thought that they have lost by giving what they cannot keep to gain what they cannot lose. Lord, I want to break off the people who have had a spirit of poverty on them all their life, and right now they're saving up money for a retirement that they may never get to. They're saving up for a bigger house or a bigger car or whatever it happens to be, and Lord, once they get it, the dissatisfaction or the disappointment that they have is far beyond what they'll get when they first drive it off the showroom floor. Lord, we want the true riches. And Lord, because we would trust you with that, then Lord, you'll be able to trust us. In Jesus' name. I want everybody to stand to their feet, and we're going to sing this song. I would hope that all of you will stay with me because I'm just about done. Because of who you are. Sing it to him. I give you glory. Don't sing it to me, sing it to him.
Because of who you are, I give you praise.
Sing it again.
Because of who you are, I will lift my voice and say, Lord, I worship you because of who you are. Lord, I worship you because of who you are.
Who is he, Jehovah Jireh?
Jehovah Jireh.
Is he your provider? Jehovah Nisi.
Jehovah Nisi.
Lord, you reign, you reign, you reign.
Lord,
my Prince of Peace,
my Prince of Peace. Lord, I worship you because of who you are.
So, Pastor Paul, just keep playing that quietly. Keep playing that quietly while we're standing in the presence of the Lord. Everybody bow your heads one more time. You came here this morning, or we're still in the morning, and the Holy Spirit has spoken to you that there needs to be some change made in the direction focus of your life, because some of you are the true riches that we've been waiting for to surrender to Jesus. And somehow this message, even though you say, well, it's about mammon, but it touched a part of you that says, you know, I want to get to know the God that would cause folks to be conscious of the fact that how much I need God. And they came here today, and you came here today saying, you know, I'm ready to give over to God. Somebody sowed money so that they could have a church service here, and somehow God has touched my heart, and I want to give myself over to Jesus. If that's you, with heads bowed, eyes closed, lift your hand right now and say, that's me. God bless you, sir. Anybody else that says that, do it. Lift it where I can see it. That's right. Another second or two? If that's your sincere desire, as we sing it, that Jehovah Jireh again, I would encourage you to step out of your seat, come down here. There'll be people to pray with you. And then we're
going to dismiss this. Thank you for listening today. We pray that you have been blessed by listening to the message. You are welcome to celebrate with us in worship and the Word every Sunday at 10 a.m. If you have a prayer need, we welcome you to submit it through our website. We'd love to pray for you. Will you consider supporting us with your prayer and financial gifts? God bless you.